Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we can see spring from here, can't we? Huh?
I'm still praying for one more cold snap.
Oh, man. You're a sick man. I'll tell you that. I'm just looking forward to spring. It's right around the corner.
I know why you're looking forward to spring. Don't try to make it sound like you want the daffodils and beautiful green grass. Golf.
Yes. duly noted. I am looking forward to some green grass. Been seeing brown grass the three or four times.
Or mud.
The three or four times I've gotten to hit the white ball around the last couple of months, but. It is going to be nice to have spring here. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, pro baseball, I guess, kind of kicks off spring for most people, especially in the colder parts of our country, and that starts in the 1st of April. But you know that ivy on the walls there at Wrigley Field, that stays dead till like mid-May.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know it stays dead that long.
Yeah, it's still brown.
Well, all I know is April 11th starts the National Hockey League playoffs.
Really?
So while baseball starts to get untracked.
Hockey will be going into the playoffs.
Yeah, going into the playoffs. That's weird. It goes into June, I think.
The NBA playoff season, I think, goes 6 months. I think that starts in May and ends sometime in the next year.
In September?
Yeah.
It overlaps the start of the net following season.
I heard it. Let me introduce Steve Jorda, our newsman. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, the hockey playoffs and the NBA playoffs are generally at the same time every year.
Well, they play – the NBA plays – I heard somebody joke this way one time. Said the NBA plays 6 months to eliminate three teams.
Just about. Kind of the same way in hockey, though, if you think about it. There's an awful lot of hockey teams that make the postseason.
Yeah. All right, Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What's going on?
A couple things that have happened since we've been on the air this morning. Austin police are saying now that they are dealing clearly with a serial bomber. They've linked the four bombs together. So now, even though the last one, as you guys were talking about, was different than the first three, they are looking at the same
So they have
source.
They've linked those together then.
That's what they're saying.
That's interesting.
It appears to be the work of a serial bomber, according to authorities this morning. So they're going to and they're asking all the residents of one neighborhood to stay indoors until 2 p.m. local time. I'm not sure what's happening until 2 p.m., but that's what they're asking. So and then Supreme Court took up an interesting case, which we probably will be watching as it goes along. It's on immigration. And they're going to decide whether immigrants jailed for past crimes can be detained pending deportation. And so it goes to the whole sanctuary state movement. I think this is a referendum on the sanctuary policy, in my opinion, this case, although I'll check with Abe Hamilton to see. But it looks like what they're asking is, does the state have to keep these guys and turn them over to ICE when they come looking?
And there is a little complexity in this because we do have federalism, and so the question has long been raised in a lot of areas: how much does the state have to do to spend money in order to cooperate with the federal government? I'm not talking about immigration here at this point. So, you know, I know there's been lawsuits where the federal government said, well, states have to do this. You have to use your own money. And the states went to court and they said, no, if the federal government wants us to do that, they're going to have to pay money. But this is not that.
Well,
hang on. You don't know what I'm going to say. Can you read my mind?
Yes.
Like my wife?
I talked to her this morning. She told me what you were going to say. So
this is states and cities who disagree with the federal policy, and regardless of whether they have to spend money, they are not going to cooperate with the feds on something they disagree with. Okay, so go ahead.
Well, no, I think what you've just done is you've put your finger on some of the issues that they're going to be dealing with in this, because federalism does say that states have the right to do their own thing with regard to law enforcement, for example, but the Constitution also says that the government has supreme rule over immigration.
Federal government,
so,
yeah.
The federal government does. So when those two things come into conflict, that's where the Supreme Court jumps in and says, well, this is how it's going to go. So yeah. We'll be looking at that. They've just scheduled it. They've just granted cert. So we're not even close to the oral arguments or anything yet, but just something to keep
in mind. But that will be this year? They will hear this year?
They agreed Monday to take a case. I think they were still hearing arguments this year. So,
okay.
Yeah. I don't know whether this could be one of those that they hear the arguments this year but delay the decision.
Right.
But maybe not. Maybe it's a pressing enough issue that they're going to want to get it taken care of. Did anybody go to the movies over the weekend?
No, I did
didn't.
Not.
Didn't.
You did not.
I watched the new Avengers Infinity War trailer about a half dozen times.
There you go. That's almost the same.
Yeah.
Well,
March Madness is going on.
That's true. Apparently, they had the first time a number 16 beat a number 1.
Right.
Yes.
That was the Baltimore
Maryland
school. University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Yeah.
Something.
So
what are they? What are they? The Teamsters? What are they called?
The Teamsters.
What is their
I don't know. I don't think they're the Teamsters.
Travelers.
They weren't the Retrievers, were they?
Retrievers.
That's what they were. They were the Retrievers.
Yeah.
Not the Teamsters.
Woof, woof.
But they knocked off the University
funny.
Of Virginia.
The Teamsters.
Yeah.
I use Teamsters knocked off.
I want to meet anybody whose brackets are still in place now.
Nobody's. I heard that over, I don't know how many million.
That ESPN had.
Over a million ESPN March Madness brackets, and nobody has them right.
Yeah.
Because of the upsets that took place in the March Madness.
Yeah,
to your point, a number one seed, which was the University of Virginia men's mm-hmm. basketball team, lost to the
number 16
Retrievers from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Mm-hmm.
And that had never happened in the history of the NCAA tournament. A 16 seed had never knocked off a number one.
The problem was that Virginia kept throwing the ball in, and the Retrievers went and got it.
High five me right there, Steve. You're killing it.
Yeah.
Wow. Bring it, Steve.
Like the old just one quick comment. Like one of the old Looney Tune cartoons where someone threw dynamite and the Retriever would bring it back.
Right.
I don't remember which character that was. Probably the Coyote or something. I don't know.
Well, anyway, meanwhile, at the box office, there's a Christian movie that came out this week. It's called I Can Only Imagine. And it is the story of that song. If you know that song by the band Mercy Me, it tells the story.
Great song.
It is a song about what might happen when someone gets to heaven and they meet all the people that they've influenced. Anyway, this is the life story, basically, of the author, Bart Millard. It was projected to make about $4 million. It made $17 million, came in number three. It was the second-rated new release, and it just rocketed.
And it has no Marvel superheroes in it at all?
Not one. Well, and some people consider God a superhero.
Oh, well, I don't want to go there.
God is way over. So that's why
superhero status.
But anyway, I talked to a guy this morning who said Christians still feel like they're underrepresented. And so when a movie comes out, and by the way, there are two more movies coming out in the coming week around Easter. We have one about the Apostle Paul.
With Jim Caviezel,
Jim Caviezel, the same guy that acted in The Passion of the Christ. And then another God's Not Dead movie.
Is this number six?
I know it would be number three, I believe. And I talked to a guy that worked on it on number two this morning, and he says number three has a twist. People are going to be surprised.
God's Not Dead
God's
3?
God's Still Not Dead.
God's Still Not Dead.
I didn't see number two. I did see number one.
I've never seen any
of
them.
With Kevin Sorbo, wasn't it?
It is with Kevin Sorbo, right.
Number two and three is Kevin Sorbo, too?
Two is with Kevin Sorbo. I don't know if he's in three. I haven't seen three, and I can't tell you much about the twist.
Okay. Well, this movie that you're talking about, which is I Can Only Imagine, finished three.
Mm-hmm.
Number three to, $17 million they brought in. Black Panther, that's been number one for a month. Tomb Raider. And now I Can Only Imagine.
Yeah.
But have you seen it? I Can Only Imagine.
I didn't go see it this weekend.
What's it? Is there somebody starring in it that we would recognize?
Yes, or? Yes. It is starring.
Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid is in it. So
is
so
it about somebody going to heaven or something?
What's I haven't seen it, so I wouldn't want to ruin it for people. But go see it because it's a good one.
It has to do, he wrote the song. It has to do. Now I'm not giving anything away because if anyone knows anything about the movie, they know
alert.
This.
No, not a spoiler.
I don't think it's a spoiler alert. It's the story is focused on the guy who wrote the song and his relationship with his abusive
dad,
father.
Yeah.
And so anyway,
true story. Then
true story.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, it is. And now I just
everyone thinks he wrote the song about what he would imagine it's like. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I'll just do the normal caveat that I haven't seen it, and AFA isn't recommending any of these movies. I'm just saying
that we have problems with them. We just have not reviewed them.
Right. I just want to make sure that we understand that this what I'm saying is not an official recommendation from AFA on any of these. But so it was interesting to look. There was a movie out. If you were listening to the top of the hour news just a couple minutes ago, you heard a story that I did about a movie called Love, Simon that's out, which is the first movie that is really tried to be released to a general audience as a regular romance between two guys. And that tanked basically at the box office.
You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't make that work. I don't care how gay friendly you say you are. Two men being lovers in a movie, excuse the English, ain't working. Not even for gay people.
Not for
probably.
A wide release.
No.
You may get the homosexual community.
No, there's nothing romantic about that.
But it's so small.
Well, but here's the thing. You hear about how the culture is softening up. People will tell a pollster
what they
think they want to hear.
Yeah.
People will tell their neighbors that, I don't hate anybody. And they maybe not, but they're not going to go spend their money on their own time to watch
That's
it.
Why you won't hear homosexual love songs, even by Elton John.
Right.
Well, actually, half of them you don't know that he's singing about. They kind of.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying.
Why would you
The reason you wouldn't want to know is because you couldn't say that because it doesn't work. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Male-male, quote, romance is not the same as female-male romance.
Well, because you're dealing with 98% of the population that cannot put themselves in that movie.
Exactly. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano,
we got
Steve Jordahl.
An expert on gay
guest.
Romance movies coming up right here, right?
Oh, wow.
That would be a negative. That would be a negative. And if he's still with us, Dan Celia from Financial Issues, heard each weekday here on AFR from 8:05 to 10 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio each weekday morning, is with us. Two things to talk about with Dan. We got a town hall coming up with Dan Celia in Fredericksburg, Virginia, for all our listeners in Virginia who can drive to be there. We're going to talk about that and get Dan's take on the new economic leadership there for the White House. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Wait a minute. Let me turn down my Elton John CD.
Our dancer.
Taco breaking my heart.
Tiny Dancer joining us from Philly, PA. Actually, it's afternoon there in the Eastern time zone. Dan, you guys are going to be in, you and Wesley, my son, and Riley, Riley Wildman Davis, is going to be in Fredericksburg, Virginia for a town hall meeting. When is that, next week?
Tuesday evening. Yep, Tuesday evening. A week from tomorrow.
March 27th.
Yep, we'll be in Fredericksburg. So if anybody listening anywhere near Richmond, Northern Virginia, Winchester, Virginia, all those areas, come on out. We'd love to see you there at the town hall meeting. We're going to have a great time.
Here's how you can register, folks. It's free to come to the town hall meeting with Dan Celia. It's free, but go to afafoundation.net. afafoundation.net, and just register there. It's very simple to do, but we just need to know how many people are coming for seating purposes. But Dan will be there, and he'll be making a presentation and greeting folks. So that's in Fredericksburg, Virginia, March 27th, 6:30 to 8:30. At the Fredericksburg Hospitality and Conference Center there in Fredericksburg, VA. Now, the you know, every day seems like somebody's fired at the White House.
Yeah,
really. I don't know what's going on there. Hopefully things are going to settle down soon. But he fired his economic director?
He did. Gary Cohen got fired. Gary Cohen was very adamant about the tariff thing and was very upset about that. And I really think that Gary Cohen was very pivotal in getting the tax plan done. I think he worked very hard on it. He was the guy for that job. Maybe not the guy to continue on, though, but he was definitely the guy for that job. And Larry Kudlow is coming in here. Larry Kudlow, of course, he worked in the Reagan administration. He was an economic policy guy for Ronald Reagan and came off of Wall Street. He's a great guy. Larry Kudlow and I have always agreed on one thing. He's one of the few economists. There's a few of us left that believe in a strong dollar economy. We believe that, you know, a strong dollar, a strong currency for any economy, any country is good. And Larry Kudlow comes on board. He's a free market capitalist, you know, wants fair trade, but free trade, and is very much for a strong currency. He believes that a strong currency leads to good things, no matter what. And I agree with him. So I think he's going to be very, very good. I tell you, everybody was saying it was going to be Larry Kudlow, and I was saying no. So I'm really glad I was wrong. He would have been my first pick.
Hey, Dan, Steve Jordahl here.
Yes, Steve.
So I'm hearing that the Trump administration is considering a phase two of these tax cuts, politically saying that since the first one kind of put the Democrats in a corner, doing it again is going to paint them in a corner for 2018. If Gary Cohen was the guy that got phase one passed, do you think that it's going to be a detriment? Can they pass a phase two, or is that anything more than just kind of political rumors?
No, I think it's a lot of political rumor. I think he, you know, I know he's trying to paint Democrats into the corner. I think he painted Kevin Brady into a corner in the House because I think he was surprised. Although he said, no, they're working on some things. But what they're working on is going to be more for business, not going to be for individuals. So President Trump did indicate that, well, it's going to be good for, you know, for the middle class and lower income folks as well. But he did say that it's primarily going to be some more business relief. You know, President Trump did not get the 15% tax cuts for business that he wanted. And that's okay. But I think he still wants to do more. I think he has seen this as an incredible shot in the arm for the economy. And I think he's in the camp that if you do more of it, things are going to get better. I think we need to leave it alone, but that's just my opinion. I think it's a good tax plan. I think it's going to be beneficial. I think we've got to let the dust settle. I think we've got to see what happens. Maybe you attack this in your second term, and try to look at some additional relief in different areas. But I don't know that he's going to get the kind of support for additional tax reforms as he had for the last one.
Mm-hmm. What about?
I was just going to say, Dan, I don't know how the president could get anything else done since he basically used the one bullet he's allowed because of Senate rules to pass the first round of tax cuts. How would he even politically get this done?
Yeah, I don't think he's thought that through. I think what he's hoping for is let's get something on the board, gain control of the Senate in November, and we'll have a new tax bill going in, you know, to not this election, obviously, but if we can talk about it and it sounds good, and we gain some momentum for the November elections, we get control of the Senate, and then you can do whatever you want.
Hey, one last question, Dan. Somebody like Mr. Kudlow, what's his first name?
Larry.
Larry Kudlow. By the way, he's been on TV for a few years, hasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, he's been on with CNBC. He's been on CNBC for, it's probably been a good 10 years.
Yeah, and grill clean. What do you call it? Stuff you put on your hair?
Brill cream?
Brill cream. He's a big fan of Brill cream.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
But
yeah.
I want to ask you this. What real impact can a what's the proper title?
Chief Economic Advisor.
Is that a figurehead, or does he work the Congress or the Fed or international?
Yeah.
What does he do?
No, it's not. I don't think it's a figurehead job at all. I think it's somebody that sets the tone and direction and has the ability to set the tone of and direction. But of course, you got to listen to him.
Right.
Therein lies the problem, you know. So he has that ability to set the tone for even things like budgets, because he's somebody that is going to think about unintended consequences of budgets to the overall economy.
Gotcha.
And he can set that trajectory of the economy if he's listened to and set the tone for how are we going to move forward.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate
You're
it very
welcome.
Much. Take care.
All right.
That's Dan Celia joining us. Again, Dan's going to be in Fredericksburg, Virginia, speaking. That is open to all folks who want to come to that town hall meeting. It's free of charge, but you do need to register because we need to know who's coming, how many people are going to be there for seating purposes. Go to AFAFoundation.net, AFAFoundation.net, to easily sign up for the to register. You can do it very quickly for the town hall meeting with Dan Celia coming up a week. When did he say? 27th?
Mm-hmm.
And those do very well.
Yeah.
We get good crowds, yeah. So folks need to sign up early for that.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. People still even use Brill cream?
I haven't seen it, although I don't.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people use the slick back look.
Yeah.
That's how I know it's Larry Kudlow, because I see
he's got the slick,
back.
I can understand why you might be confused as to whether it's still an issue or not.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Remember Steve's last day at AFA, don't you?
Yeah. Remember what he said? What was that he said when he insulted the president of the ministry?
I would say that hurts, Steve, but it doesn't, because that doesn't bother me anymore. I gave up on that 20 years ago. That is the idea that not having hair on top of your head is an issue you need to be concerned with, me personally.
Because you're not shallow. Steve, on
I'm
the other
shallow.
Hand.
Well, Allison's been with me a long time. I guess it doesn't bother her. So
right.
Why should it bother me, right?
Yeah.
Yo.
What do you got, Steve?
Hey,
you got 1 minute.
Can we do something from the snowflake vials?
Hey, yeah. hey, snowflake.
Snowflake. Remember the walkout, the student walkout that happened last week? Well, it appears that an Ohio student didn't. He was the only guy of his school that did not walk out, and in fact, he has been suspended for not walking out.
Walking out in support of gun control.
Exactly. After the Florida shooting, now about last Wednesday, I think, all these students all across the country protested and walked out.
Were there really that many?
There was a lot, and at least at this school in Hilliard, Ohio. His name is Jacob Shoemaker, and he stayed in class. He thought that school wasn't the place to be doing these kind of protests, protest on your own time. And the fact there was nobody left at the school to watch him.
Everybody else went to protest.
Teacher and administrators went with him.
So is it really a protest if it's officially sanctioned and organized by the school?
They make it sound like the kids were driving this. And it's obviously been set into motion by adults.
Well, it was. It was the founders of the Women's March and those kind of people that kind of rallied it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Steve. Jordal, appreciate it, my friend. Yeah, appreciate you sharing your insights and wisdom.
Absolutely.
Today on the program.
My insults.
Yeah. Well, Steve did that.
Yeah, that's true.
He insulted me. All right. Walker had to be away this half hour, so I thank him and Fred. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.